Good evening.
Good evening.
Before we start this evening, Thomas has a question or a comment.
Dallas, I had lunch with one of my friends, and he actually attended your class once last summer. Oh. And he was saying that he goes, you know that guy you go see, Dallas, and he says, like Dr. Michael Beckwith of The Secret. He said, they tell you what to do, but they don't tell you how to do it. I wanted your comments on that.
Oh, okay. First of all, I'm always telling you how to do something. But the whole idea of this teaching is to teach you to think for yourself. We don't tell you what to think. We teach you how to think. How to think for yourself. When we say how to think properly or to think correctly, means to see yourself the way this thing we call God sees you. To see inside of yourself and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are the things that you need to know. If you're asking, they don't teach you how to do something, meaning how to manifest something, this whole month was a class in how to get what you want and how to manifest. Earlier when I came in, Monk has just finished for the very first time the mental equivalent, which we talk about, which I've talked about. It's also on the website, and I'll get you a copy of that as soon as I get to the Bodhi Dream. The mental equivalent by Emmett Fox is this in 40 pages or 39 pages. Tells you everything that you need to know. If you master that little pamphlet, you do not have to read another book. All the books that are out there are based on the mental equivalent. Most people do not know what the mental equivalent is. The mental equivalent, you have to have a mental picture in your mind. That is the mold. Remember when I say you must make a frame, you must make a mold, you must have a blueprint of something. Color in the painting, the paint by numbers. You have to come up with that first. That's the mental equivalent. Once you have the mental equivalent, then this thing called God, this thing called the universe, fills that in for you and knows how to fill that in. But the first job that you must do is have a mental equivalent. Remember the little German proverb, begin to weave and God will furnish the thread. But if you do not begin to do something, if you do not hold a mental equivalent, then you cannot manifest something. Now, we all hold a mental equivalent. We just hold the wrong mental equivalent because most people still see lack and limitation because they are convinced by the world outside that tells them all these things. So they buy into that. So you have to, that's what I call living in the facts. There are only facts out there. If you live in the facts, that's the mold that you are holding and that will fill in itself and make that your life. If you live in truth, then it will fill in the truth for you. So, what's the fact? The fact that at the present moment, you look in your checkbook and you say to yourself, I don't have any money. That is a fact. The truth is that money is always circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. So, you have to convince yourself, you have to keep that set so that you can make that come true for you. You see, that is called a mental equivalent. So you have to do that tonight. This evening we're going to do an exercise to help you see how that's done also. That's a very good question because there's no sense coming to this class if you don't find out how to do it, you see. Otherwise, you can pick up all these books out there and those books constantly are telling you something. Remember, I refer always to Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, which I forget how many millions of copies of that book has been sold. Well, if he had put in there exactly how to do this, everyone would be a millionaire today. But what he did was, he interviewed people that already had money. Well, you see, he didn't bother to tell you that you have to have a mental equivalent. Carnegie and all them thought of themselves as worthy, deserving, totally level one, that they mattered. They had a mental equivalent going on. They knew that they could make money. And they made money. We are not taught that. So that's what I call most of the books out there. Start you on step two. And if you don't have step one, you cannot do it. And step one is always going to be have the right mental equipment and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If you don't do that, many people know perfectly well, if you go in with inside of yourself, you can tell when you don't think that you deserve something. Now, you have to change that and know that you always deserve it. Just say. So if you are hesitating and you think, well, I really don't deserve this, but I'm going to try to manifest it anyway. Well, you're not going to manifest it. You're not going to manifest it. You may get bits and pieces of it. Or you may get it and it's immediately taken away from you. Because you lose the money, you wreck the car, you destroy the relationship. Thing is same. So you always have to go back to yourself. Always, constantly. So this month in March, we are doing that different thing, and we started with the whole idea of this beloved. So let's go look at, did that answer your question, by the way?
Yes, thank you.
Let's get this one. She didn't get mine. Yes, Palm Sunday. The one that says Palm Sunday we're doing right now. So it says, listen, my beloved, you are like butterflies. Does anyone remember when I turned out the little cards? It says, how to become a butterfly. How does one become a butterfly? You don't know how to become a butterfly. Well, how are you going to become a butterfly if you don't know how to become a butterfly? You have to give up being a caterpillar. And that's what most people are stuck. They won't give up the idea that they're a caterpillar. You won't give up the idea that you can't have something. So you're in a caterpillar state. If you want to become a butterfly, you have to give up that idea. The whole thing about metaphysics is learning to think differently. Because you have to give up the ideas that you have. You certainly have to give up the cultural ideas that you have. Our culture has brainwashed all of us. And we think, oh, that's the way everyone else thinks. That's the way everyone else thinks. So I start to think that same way. If you're brainwashed by what we call race mind or the culture that you're born into, how are you going to think outside of that? You have to say, that makes no sense. I can think outside of the box that people keep putting me in. You see, we're born into families, and we're born into religions, and we're born into politics, and we just take that all for granted. So we live in that their box. Somebody handed you most of this stuff. So you have to learn to start thinking, oh, does this make sense to me? Does this make sense to me? Here's an example. When I grew up, and it still happens today because culturally it's acceptable. Two women can dance together. Two men. Everyone goes, oh no, two men can't dance together. Who made that rule? Culture. If two women can dance, what's the difference? If two women can dance together and no one bats an eye and nothing's going on there sexually or anything else, then why can't two men? Two men dance together and immediately your mind says, well, then they must be gay, they must be homosexual, they must be deviants, they must be this, that, and the other thing. And our society doesn't want to see that. It doesn't want to allow that, you see. But that's just culture. That's a dogma in our culture that you have to be able to give up. I'd say, what difference does it make, you see? This is how you test. What offends me? You can tell how you're thinking if something offends you. You must learn to realize that nothing can offend you. You see? Nothing offends God. Nothing offends God. God is not offended by anything. God is beyond any of that stuff. So we have to raise our consciousness so nothing offends us. But we buy into what race mind is doing, and we buy into what the culture is doing. And we say, oh, well, that's right. Who made that rule up? Who made it up? It's just made up rule, you see. And it changes. Over time, things change. That's all. But if you want to be a butterfly, you have to give up the idea that you're a caterpillar. You see, start thinking of yourself in a different term. Start seeing yourself as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you can manifest something, that you can build a mental equivalent, and believe that this universe, this thing we call God, will fill that in for you, will bring that to you. You wrap yourselves in threads of glorious thoughts and positive prayers, and let your spirit simply be. And in this state of being, you grow. You see, wrap yourself in positive thinking, in prayers, in treatment, and you will start to grow. If you get up every morning and think that the world is horrible and people are horrible and so forth, how do you think you're going to manifest something? You have to get up in the morning and say, oh, thank God I'm alive. Thank God for this gorgeous day. Thank God for all the opportunities that are coming my way today, because I know that each opportunity that comes my way today will advance me in some way, will bring me healing, will bring me prosperity, will bring me abundance, will bless me in some way. See? That's how you do that. Like the butterfly, you are beautiful. Your inner beauty reflects in your outer experience. Let your beauty shine through your thoughts, words, and actions. Listen to what you're thinking. Listen to what you're saying. What words are you using? Wonderful, great, marvelous, glorious, abundant. Are you using words? Words structure thought. So use words. Let it change you, transform you little by little, opening your mind and heart to the wonders of the universe, to the wonderful wonders of the universe. I watch all those nature things. I watch everything I can get a hold of. It's just absolutely wonderful. You know, I have a lot of plants in my home, and I love watching them. I have an anthurium in the kitchen, which blooms all the time. Well, it had one bloom, and I said to it, you know, it'd be nice if another bloom could come. So in about 2 or 3 days, I looked in, there was a little bloom starting. Now, I watch these, it's this tall by now, but I watch how that bloom is so entwined, so tight, and so, it looks like it will never come out. It starts to unfold, and you think, oh, it's going to be distorted, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. But it knows how to turn itself right into a beautiful blossom. A beautiful flower comes out of it. You see? We do that same thing with our thoughts, you see. We have to be able to hold thoughts till they take shape and bloom. But we get to looking at it and we think, oh, it's distorted or it's going to be deformed and all. No, it's not. It's going to unfold just beautifully. That's how you have to know about your life. You have to know that your life is unfolding just the way it is supposed to for you. It's unfolding the way it's supposed to. You see? And dwell on those things. Just as a caterpillar is transformed into the glorious butterfly, you are transformed as you allow yourself the freedom to be. Now listen to what to be to. To be healthy, whole, creative, unique creation that you were meant to be. Allow yourself the freedom to be healthy. To be whole and creative. And always know that you're a unique creation. Always know that about yourself. Remember the other week we talked about, don't compare yourself to anyone. It's an impossibility. You can't compare yourself to anybody. You can't. You're not that person. Come with me on this sacred journey called life. Do you think that your life is sacred? Do you think you're on a wonderful journey? You see, I got up the other morning and I said to myself, you know, I'm on my 66th year of vacation. 66 years of vacation. This is a wonderful vacation, this little respite that I'm having here on this planet called Earth before I move on. You have to change your thinking about your life, about what it's all about. But you've bought in to what the culture is telling you, what race mind is telling you, what your parents told you, what authorities tell you. That the world is a struggle, the world is a mess, the world is this, you'll never get what you want. Da, 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 da. There's not enough to go around. They're all lies, people. And if you live in that lie, that is what you're going to have. Join me now in new opportunities for growth and renewal. See, this is the time of year, these 40 days of Lent, building up to this Christian thing called Easter. Now, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be religious or anything to participate in any of these things. I am certainly not a Christian. But I do all these things. And I explained earlier, you know, Easter is a pagan holiday, and I just love the pagans. But do these different exercises for your own mind, for your own growth, you see. I started 40 days ago doing all this work. And now this Sunday, it will be, I'm also in the 21-day program that I'm doing, which I get up every morning at 3 o'clock and do 100 bows every morning at 3 o'clock for 21 days. Why do I do that? For my own growth. I do that so that I can become master of my mind and body. So when my mind says, are you crazy getting up? You could sleep another hour. You're tired. You're this, that, the other thing. I say, I am not my mind. And my body says, but you can't. I am not my body. I am the master of my mind and the master of my body. When you know that you're the master of your mind and your body, then you can learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. And that's what this whole teaching is about. You see, I lure you in here with the idea that it's about abundance and prosperity and money. That's just to get you in. And I want you to have all those things. But I want you to become a master of your mind and body. I want you to be able to think the thoughts that you want to think, so that when you get up in the morning, immediately your mind says to you, good morning. This is just another day in paradise, and you're going to have a wonderful day. Instead of your mind saying, oh, the traffic is going to be bad, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. See, it's done with your mind. It's done with your perspective. But you have to know that you are not your mind and you are not your body. Wonderful that they are. But you have to be able to control them. You have to be able to tell them what you want from them. Otherwise, they run your life. And when we say that the mind is running our life, the emotions that we have run our life. We are not our emotions. We are not our emotions. And that's what gets us all into trouble, because we start to believe that these emotions are real. You have to be able to pick the feeling that you want to feel. I've said this many times, I'll say it again. Feelings are the life of the organism. Feelings are the life of the organism. But you think it's something else. When you want to manifest something, you must use your feeling. Emmett Fox, warmth of feeling. You must have a feeling, a good feeling, a warmth of feeling, an intensity of feeling. Because it's when the head and the heart relate with each other that you get a demonstration. That means when your feelings and your thought back each other up. But you have a feeling and your head talks you out of it. No, you don't feel that way. No, you don't want them to do that. They must relate with each other. It takes two, head and heart, to make something else. We always had that. Always takes two to make one. Always takes two to make one. Experience the unlimited blessings and magnificent moments of peace and understanding. Experience unlimited blessings and magnificent moments of peace and understanding. We are one, heart, mind, and soul. And in this oneness, let your spirit soar to new heights of joy, peace, and love. Be with me, walk with me, my beloved, and be transformed. How many people get up every morning and know that they are the beloved? Now, you say to me, how do I do that? Get up every morning and tell yourself you are the beloved until your mind accepts that. Till your mind accepts that. It can be no other way. You have to be the beloved. You say, you can't be anything but that. That's how much God loved. Remember, God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, we know that God gave his begotten sons and daughters to this world. We also know that we have to be some part of that. When it says here, inwardly, we are made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. Inwardly, we have all the qualities of God. God doesn't look like a human being. We don't know what God looks like. No man will ever see the face of God. At the beginning of this month, I made a statement and gave you a question. We'll see how many people remember. How much does God love you? Do you know how much God loves you? And why God is the only thing that loves this much? Because God will allow you to make it into anything that you want. God will allow you to make it into anything that you want. If we come and we say, always God, there is nothing but God. All the elements are put together in different ways to make something else. Therefore, we take God and we make a table. We take God and we make a chair. We take God and we make our life. So when you want to manifest something, all you are doing is taking God and shaping it into what you want. That's how easy it is. But you have to know that's how much God loves you. Can you think of anything else that could love you that much? Would you be able to take and change it into anything? You see? People try to do that in relationships, don't they? They don't work. They want to change the other person into something. That person will not change into anything. But God will. Why? Because God doesn't have an ego. And God loves you so much that if you say, this is what I want, this is what I want you to be, God says, wonderful, I will be that. These are the things that you have to pass through your head. This is what we mean by renewal, by renewing your spirit. This is what it means when it says change your mind, change your life. It means go to that basic principles that are inside of there and start building on those. You see, you can change your mind. Oh yeah, I like vanilla ice cream, but now I like chocolate ice cream. Well, that doesn't change your life. You see, that doesn't change your life. But when you start to realize that you are the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased, that you can take this energy, we'll call God energy, we can call God anything, and you can take this energy and mold it into anything that you want. You see? Now you know where everything comes from. And how do you mold God into something? First, with thinking. What do I really want? What do I really want? Then you get that idea of what you want. And you hold that idea, and God will turn into that idea. Will turn into that thought. That's what it means about changing. When you come into this teaching, You have to change almost all your thinking. This teaching cannot be grafted on to old thoughts. It cannot be grafted on to what you learned as a Catholic, as a Jew, or any of those things. Not that there's anything wrong with their teaching, but you have to pick the truths in their teaching. Because the thread of truth runs through everything. And we have to find that thread and trace it. Then, when you come into a teaching like this, you start to change. Oh, see, that makes sense. You don't get offended. Anytime I understand more about something, I'm not offended that it doesn't take my faith away. An example, I was absolutely thrilled and delighted when I realized, how many people here know about the burning bush, and Abraham and the burning bush, remember? And God, the bush came a fire. And everyone in Christianity, almost everyone, except myself, said, oh, a burning bush. Absolute miracle. There's only one burning bush. There's only ever one burning bush. Well, this is not true. All through the Middle East, there are bushes that catch on fire. They're so loaded with juice, so loaded with sap and so forth, and it's so dry there that if a stone rolls down and makes a little spark and it hits that tree, the tree bursts into fire. Burning bushes. Now, that does not take the story of Abraham away from me. And it does not say, oh, they're telling us a lie, really. I said, oh, I'm delighted to find that out. That even adds more to it. But most people get offended. Most people, you see, want to make God special. Most people want to make Jesus special. They want to make everybody special. Why does everyone want to make everybody special and see everybody as special except yourself? Why don't you become special yourself? You're made of the same stuff that Jesus was made out of, as Moses was made out of, as Abraham was made out of. You're the same. So why don't you think of yourself as special? You see, we've been taught, you see, that you can't be special. They can be special, but you can't be special. Why do you think we love Madonna and all these people? Because they're special. She's no special than anybody else. She had talent, she had creativity, and she put it to work. You have talent, you have creativity, put it to work. And do it for yourself, you see. And that's the way it's done. It's going to start with you. Everything in this teaching starts with you and what you are thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? Do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter dance. Oh, I forgot, didn't you?
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay! So, is this helping you, Thomas?
Yes.
Good. Because there's no sense coming to these classes if you don't learn something. If you can't apply these classes, you know, unity is called applied Christianity because it's a metaphysical teaching, but it's in the framework of a Christian thing. This is all unity, by the way. These beloved things is from a unity thing that I do every year with them for the Lenten season. Doesn't make any difference, you say. You don't have to belong to a church. You don't have to belong to anything. What you have to do is know that you are the beloved. You see. Once you know that and that you're connected to this thing called God, then your whole life is going to change and the people around you are going to change. Your whole situation is going to change. You're going to start to see yourself differently. You see. And not conceited, not arrogant, not anything. You just, it's a sense that comes over you. I'm all right. I am the beloved, you see. Start loving yourself. start seeing what a wonderful, marvelous miracle that you are. These are the things that will help you in life, not the rest of the things. And as you do that, last week I think it was, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. You see, once you know this and you seek the kingdom of heaven, money and the rest of it, your health, your relationships, are byproducts, you see. The same way positive thinking becomes a byproduct of this teaching. We don't teach positive thinking. We teach people how to think positively, but it comes by learning to think better about yourselves, you see. That's how it's done, you see. So, people who want to manifest things, and we all want something from life, we'll do a little thing now and see if this will help you be able to manifest what you want in this life. Close your eyes. Get very comfortable. You all know how to just settle down. And start to picture yourself on a very high cliff. And you're looking down. And as you look down, it just goes on forever and ever. You've never seen anything so deep. And then you start to bring your head up slightly. And you look across this cavern, this ravine. And on the other side, you see whatever you want. What is it that you want to manifest? Is it money? Is it health? Is it a relationship? A car? It doesn't matter. But see it on the other side. Now, when you have that in your mind, what you want, and you see it on the other side of the cavern or canyon, look back down, and if you see how deep that is, you know how far it is that you cannot get across there. There it is. You can see it. You can see what you want, but you cannot get to it. Because you cannot jump that far. And you cannot climb down and back up because when you look down, it's so deep, you'd never come back. Now, as you look down in there, you start to see what is in there. What is in all that dark blackness in that ravine that you're looking into? Well, there, lo and behold, you start to see all your doubts. You start to see all your fears. You start to hear all the people who say it can't be done. Everything that's keeping you from having what you want, which is on the other side, is down there in that ravine. And you keep looking down there. Then it suddenly dawns on you. I will start to look up. And you turn your head and you start to look up. And as you look up, you start to see a light. And as you see that light, it becomes clearer and clearer. And it becomes very small and tiny. You can just see a pinpoint of that light. And as you look at that pinpoint of light, you see something starting to draw. And lo and behold, you start to lift off the ground and go towards that pinpoint of light. You're just drawn to that pinpoint of light. And now you're completely up there in the sky. And that pinpoint of light starts to move. and you follow that pinpoint of light. And now that pinpoint of light lets go of that attracting force. And you start to settle down, back down to the ground. And there you are on the ground now. And you look. And there you are on the other side. And there you are with the thing that you want. Now stay there with the thing that you want. How does it feel to have what you want? What feeling is going through you? Excitement, gratitude, happiness, joy, bliss. Peace of mind. You've made it. You've made your demonstration. Now slowly, open your eyes. Did that work? Could you go up and come out? The reason why you don't get what you want, you're always looking down into the ravine. Your head is down. You must raise your head up to the light and let that light carry you to the other side. Everything is already done in mind. Everything that you want is already there. When you don't have what you want, it's because you're looking down. You're not looking up. Learn to look up and learn to see that pinpoint of light. And let that pinpoint of light carry you to what you want. At the beginning of the month, I explained to you that all we are is pinpoints of light and knowledge. We are little photons. And it's the little photons that make up this body. That is why many people call us light beings. Because we do have light within inside of us. We have so much power within inside of us that we can light up this whole city. One person has enough energy inside of them to light all of Los Angeles. You must know that you have that. Then you must know that these little pinpoints, which are photons, are small enough for you to look at and to make them into what you want. You see, they are influenced by your thinking. The problem that we do is, see, we think it's something big we have to move. You only have to move a little point of light. And you can move a little point of light with thinking. Where thought goes, energy flows. Where is your thinking? So instead of thinking, it's the old thing of how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. So see what you want and see yourself as these little points of light. And start to change the little points of light inside of you. See, you can do that inside of your body for health, for anything. You can do it outside by using that little method that I just taught you. Now, why does that work, people? You see, if Nathan was here, he'd know, wouldn't he?
Imagination.
It's your imagination. The most valuable tool you have in your toolbox, and you fail to use it. You fail to use it. Once you get focus, once you get an intent, it is your imagination that gives them the force, that gives them the power. But you must use your imagination. But what has the culture, what has society, what has race mind said to me? Stop imagining things and get to work. Give up your imagination. You're safe. It's a wonderful commercial one where the kid rushes in with this paper. It's all these bright colors and everything else. And he says, the mother says, what's wrong? He said, he flunked or something. His teacher said he has an overactive imagination. No such thing as an overactive imagination. You better get an overactive imagination if you want to do something with your life. Learn to use your imagination. People are so afraid of their imagination. The world is afraid of their imagination. What did Albert Einstein say about imagination? Imagination is more important than facts. More important than facts. Now, here's another little thing, and we'll go back to that. If you don't think that you're special and so forth, how many people here think that Albert Einstein's mind, that the mind that Albert Einstein had, that he was using more of it than you are? You know, they say, used to say we use 10% of our mind, but now they say we only use 5% of our mind. And when we think of Albert Einstein, we think, oh, he must have been using more than 5% of his mind. No, he was only using 5% of his mind. He was only using 5% of his mind. Why am I telling you this? You use 5% of your mind. Start using your mind, you see. Start using it. Start developing it. Start seeing it. How do you think you're going to open up your mind? Are you going to use your imagination to open up your mind? You're going to see yourself standing on the right hemisphere of your brain and then build a bridge and walk over to the left side of your brain and then come back and forth and see the different things from one side to the other. It's using your imagination. We can do all these things. Here's the next thing that we society takes away from us, the world likes to take away from us. One of the master teachers, Jesus, said, you can do this and more. What I can do, you can do. And then they immediately take that away from us and say, oh no, he was the only one who could do that. You have to give that up. Why do you know that that is not true? Well, you know that that is not true because God does not show favorites. God would not give Jesus something that he did not give you. God does not show favorites. You can do it. But you have to know that you can do it. And you have to use your imagination. You have to see it. You see? As long as you're bound by what the world is telling you, it is going to be very difficult for you. You have to be able to think past the world. That's what another one Jesus said. I am in this world, but I am not of this world. Don't buy into what this world is. You're not of this world. You have to know that. So it takes imagination, it takes practice. And you all do it. But you don't do it enough. You see, everyone here says they believe in God. Or they believe in a power, they believe in something. And they want all this stuff to come into their life. Well, then you have to do something to get it to come into your life. Everyone here can now manifest a parking spot, can they not? You see? And most people give up. They think, oh, boy, that's the biggest project I've mastered that. I'm not going to do anymore. You see, if you can do a parking spot, you can do anything. God doesn't know the difference. Only your mind knows the difference. You were the one who puts difficulty onto things. We'd love to say this is more difficult than that. We're the ones who do the qualifying, not the mind of God. God doesn't know big and small. You see, we know big and small. If I give you $10 or $1,000, you think, oh, $1,000 is bigger. God doesn't know that. But we settle because we think, oh, I can get $10, but I can't get $1,000. If you can do $10, you can do $1,000. Just that easy. It's that simple. But it's your mind that's telling you, oh no, something else is going on here. They're better than me. Or I'll get that as soon as I read the next book. As soon as I take the next class, then I'll understand it. Remember? Don't do that to yourself. Remember, put your hand on, go, healed. All this stuff can be instantaneous. You just have to make it so for yourself. Make it so for yourself. So if you want to manifest things in your life, start by seeing yourself differently and giving up your history. Well, it didn't work last week, or I was this way, or I was that way. Every morning when you wake up, know that you're a brand new person. You're a brand new person. You see, every day we learn something new. As soon as we learn something new, we're a brand new person. No one can step in the same river twice. But that's what you keep doing to yourself. You keep thinking you're stepping into the same river. It's impossible to step into the same river twice. But you hold a memory. And you said, it happened yesterday this way, and I was this way yesterday, so today I'm going to be that way. No. Who made that silly rule up? It's your mind. And it's this history that you think is so important. From day one, I said to you, you must know that you're not your mind. I said to people, everyone here knows that you're not your body. You know you're not your body, don't you? Do you know you're not your mind?
Sometimes no.
Yes, sometimes no. But we always know we're not our body. We take that just for granted because somebody told us and that made absolute sense to us. Oh, no, I'm not my body because I know I'm going to die. But but not mind. Not my mind. Your mind's going to die. It's going to shrivel up and die. Your consciousness is not going to. Your consciousness is not going to. You have to know that you are not your mind. You have to know that your mind is not your friend. You have to know that your mind wants to always play it safe. You want to have to know that your mind is always going to talk you out of anything that you want. If you have an idea comes in, I know exactly how to make $1,000,000. Your mind will come up immediately with 5 to 10 reasons why you can't. It will not come up with 5 to 10 reasons why you can. So you listen to it and you say, oh yeah, that's right, I can't do it. You have to tell it to shut up. And you have to tell it, I don't want those thoughts. Here are the thoughts I want. You have to start giving me better thoughts. You have to start giving me bigger thoughts. I'm tired of the thoughts that I have. How many people here like leftovers? Well, in food, that's all right. But you're always in your mind, you have leftover thoughts. And you're always going back to the leftovers. See, you're always going back to your leftovers. Look at this room. And look at all the chairs and stuff that are in this room and the tables. Now, you can rearrange these chairs and tables any way you want. Hundreds of thousands of different ways, right? But nothing changed. They're still the same tables and the same chairs. That's what goes on inside of your mind. The furniture in your mind, you just keep pushing from one corner to the other. Why don't you throw that damn furniture out and get new? Why don't you throw the furniture out that's in your mind and get new? Throw those thoughts out and just keep pushing them around the room, thinking this time they're going to work. This time this room's going to look better. Well, trash is trash. It's not going to look better. You have to throw it out. How do you do that? How do you think you throw that out?
Imagination.
Yeah.
You have to use your imagination. Why do I keep doing this? You see how your mind will keep you from, your mind will always keep you from knowing what you have to know. It doesn't want you to know that you can use your imagination. How many times tonight have I said, use your imagination, when I asked the question, you went blank? You know, your mind goes blank on it because it doesn't want you to know that. But yet you think you're your mind. Your mind is not your friend. I'm telling you that it's not your friend. You have to be able to control your thinking, to control your mind, and to control your body. You are not your mind. You are not your body. You are much more than that. You're always going to be the thinker behind the thought. So, learn that it's your imagination. Before you were in our class, I was a young man, Nathan, that's one. It took him forever, remember, to come up with imagination. He finally came up with imagination. He's out now probably making millions. He was in the thing. He finally was able to do that. But you see, you've all heard me say that how many times? I love the imagination. I used to have cards out, all kinds of things about your imagination. But yet we constantly forget it, don't we? And you're in that type of business where you have to use your imagination all the time. You use your imagination. See, we all use our imagination, but we discount it. And we let our mind say, oh no, it's not imagination, it's something else. Think of your mind as a room with furniture in it. Move that old furniture out and redo it. Paint the walls, do the whole thing. This is how you change yourself. This is how you change your mind. This is how you get what you want from life. But you will not get what you want from life as long as you allow yourself to think that your mind is you. Your mind is not you. Your mind is yours. Your mind is yours. When I say your mind is yours, what does that mean? Well, it means that there's something else that I am. Call it spirit, call it soul. I don't know. I've never seen it. But I have a wonderful imagination. I have a wonderful imagination. So when I say I'm the thinker behind a thought, or I say I can stand beside myself here and see myself, I can do that without leaving this chair. How do I do that? With my imagination. I know that I'm there now watching myself. There's nothing mystical and magical about it. It's just using your imagination and starting to believe in yourself, starting to believe that you do have imagination, starting to know that your imagination is powerful. Nothing came into this world without the imagination, people. Nothing came into this world without the imagination. Use it. Believe in it. Make it yours. But know that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Okay? Does anyone want to ask that question? Are we clear now? Have I made things clear tonight? Clearer? Yeah, okay. So don't go out, you know, up here if you're not clear. So the main thing you want to know is use your imagination. Then believe in that. None of my cards. Remember, if you want to make progress on the path and ascend to the places you have longed for, the most important thing is not to think much, but to love much. And so, to do whatever best awakens you to love. What awakens you to love? You see? This power that we call God, we can also call love. This energy can be called love. You have to find out what that is, and you have to start loving everything. Everything. When your eyes open in the morning, you must immediately start to love yourself. When your feet touch the floor, you must love the floor that your feet are touching. As you move through your house and you look around, you must learn to love everything in your home. I eat an orange every morning. I love that orange. You must just learn to love. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.